Well, good afternoon. I've gotten some mixed signals preparing to come up here this morning. Somebody told me I could preach for an hour, and then I was told by the sound booth and the song leader that anything beyond what they believe is appropriate, they will turn off my mic. So, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. While you're turning there, those of you who are part of our Bible study on Tuesday mornings at BPS, our study is still on. The announcement for the cancellation of Wednesday Bible study does not apply to us. We will still be meeting, and I look forward to seeing you there. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, and maybe it's just me, but I have found that the older I get, the more sentimental I am becoming, the more emotional sometimes I'm becoming, and things that were once commonplace now begin to take on a great deal more importance, and it is in relationship to the Word of God that I'm speaking. When I was first saved, I was saved at the age of 15, saved out of a broken home, and heard the gospel for the first time when I was 15 at a winter retreat, and that afternoon I knelt by my bunk, and as best as I knew how, I trusted Christ as my Savior. When I got home, I told my mom what I had done, and the first thing we did was we went shopping for a Bible. And I would sit for hours reading that Bible, and I would devour as much of it as I possibly could. As time went on, and I don't say this with anything but a degree of shame, as time went on, I kind of lapsed out of that intense Bible reading. I settled into a routine, and sometimes I would read it, and sometimes I wouldn't, and it depended on my schedule and how busy I was. But the older I have gotten, the more I understand that the Word of God is so important in the life of a believer. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 89 through 94, psalmist says this: "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless as we spend but a few moments this afternoon in this passage, looking at the Word of God. Lord, may indeed this book be our delight. May we be a people that are hungering and thirsting for more of the Word. God, I pray that you'd plant within us a passion that we may know more of your Word, that we may love it, we may apply it, we may memorize it, we may meditate upon it, and Father, we may live by it. And we'll be sure to give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The late Charles Haddon Spurgeon believed the Bible to be perfect in every need, for every need of man. And here is his testimony as to the Bible's perfection. Spurgeon said this: "This volume is the writing of the living God. Each letter was penned with an almighty finger. Each word in it dropped from the everlasting lips. Each sentence was dictated by the Holy Spirit. Albeit that Moses was employed to write the histories with his fiery pen, God guided that pen. It may be that David touched his harp and let sweet psalms of melody drop from his fingers, but God moved his hands over the living strings of his golden harp. It may be that Solomon sang canticles of love and gave forth words of consummate wisdom, but God directed his lips and made the preacher eloquent. If I follow the thundering Nahum when his horses plow the waters, or Habakkuk when he sees the tents of Cushan in affliction, if I read Malachi when the earth is burning like an oven, if I turn to the smooth pages of John who tells of love, or the rugged fiery chapters of Peter who speaks of the fire devouring God's enemies, if I turn to Jude who launches forth anathemas upon the face of God's people everywhere, I find God speaking. It is God's voice, not man's. The words are God's words, the words of the eternal, the invisible, the almighty, the Jehovah of this earth. The fact of the matter is that as we live our lives, it can get discouraging. I don't know if you found that to be true or not, but as we look at the headlines, as we see the loss of what many of us long for as in years gone by, as we see that changing and the world taking a turn for the worst, many of us long for those days to come back. But the Bible speaks of better days ahead. The Bible speaks that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And we have that to look forward to, and that is the hope that we hang on to. Someone has once said that what you are tuned into, you are turned into. And oftentimes, the excuses that we make for not reading our Bibles are a myriad, and oftentimes they don't hold water. I know that when you are working and you have a career and a job, that it oftentimes can be difficult to carve out a few hours or a few minutes even to sit and read your Bible. But the fact of the matter is this, is that we all make time for the things that are important to us. Isn't that right? That show that you want to watch on Tuesday evenings or Thursdays or every night of the week. The Blue Jays game that is going to take place tonight, we will make time, and go Jays, go. The things that are important to us, we make priority of them. And if you are turned into what you are tuned into, then may God help us to have a never satisfied thirst for the things of God and the Word of God. One of the great things about the Psalms is that the writer does not put on any false pretense. The writer of the Psalms is usually very real, very raw sometimes. He doesn't sugarcoat his circumstances. He doesn't worry about how he may appear to others and trying to put on spiritual airs that may make him look better. When he's hurting, he lets it be known. When things are falling apart and he doesn't have any light at the end of the tunnel, he shares that. He doesn't worry about spiritual platitudes. He bares his heart. And throughout this psalm, we have indications that he is struggling by times. But in nearly every verse of Psalm 119, he extols the virtues of and his hunger for the Word of God. I want you to see this afternoon that your anchor, your encouragement, your daily spiritual food is found in the Word of God. I think I've shared with you before that when I was pastoring in Fort Erie, I got myself in trouble. Pastors have a way of doing that. I'm not sure if you've ever noticed that or not. But when you speak for a living, you sometimes find that your lips get ahead of your brain. And what comes out is not what you intended. And so you end up having to explain yourself or backtrack or clarify the thoughts that you were trying to get across. I was preaching on Bible reading and the spiritual disciplines at Golden Harvest, and I made the mistake of saying this. Our church subscribed to Our Daily Bread. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. But I made the comment that Our Daily Bread, really, in the life of a believer, Our Daily Bread is simply a daily crumb. And we had some people that were very attached to Our Daily Bread. And they came to me after and made it clear that they did not consider the daily bread to be a daily crumb. Well, the reality is this, is that if you are seeking to grow in your Christian life, if you are seeking to be maturing and walking closer to Christ, you cannot do that on two or three verses a day. Right? Well, it's quiet in here. Do you agree with me? You need to be in the book. You need to be seeking to read more and meditate and memorize and get the book into you. Eugene Peterson rightly notes concerning the Bible. He says this, "We open this book and find that page after page it takes us off guard, surprises us and draws us into its reality, pulls us into participation with God on His terms. This should be our experience of reading the Bible as we move from dry duty beyond the checklist Christianity, slogging through the reading of the day, to an experience of the Bible that might be called a disrupting delight. If we are not being moved in heart and moved to new places in life, new levels of obedience to God, we are not really reading the Bible the way God wants us to." The reality is that any pastor looking at this psalm could preach from this psalm for months, if not years. And so it's not my intention to go through all of this psalm today. Now, I'm not going to go through a great deal of the doctrine of the Bible and all the importance that way, but I want us to simply be encouraged to spend time in the book. My purpose is not to delve into every area. My purpose is to encourage you to open your Bible. Now, I know that this isn't true of this illustrious spiritual body of believers. But you may be surprised to learn that some professing Christians go home from church and put their Bible on the shelf and leave it there until next Sunday when they need it for church. Now, I know that's not true here. And if it is true, please don't raise your hand or admit to it. The psalmist begins this segment of Psalm 119 with the impacting word forever in verse 89. He says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." This is the central verse in the longest chapter in the longest book of the Bible. And I would dare say it is one of the great verses of the Bible. "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It conveys the amazing news that the word of God has existed from eternity past and will continue to exist forever in the future. It was settled in the mind of God before the world was ever created, and then conveyed over time to men who wrote it down for you and I. The Hebrew word for settled simply means to be made to stand. It is unalterably fixed. It is the word of God. Nothing will be added to it and nothing will be taken from it. Life on this earth is filled with flux. We are constantly in a state of change. Someone has once said that that there are only two things in life that are constants, and that is death and taxes. But I would dare say there's a third one, and that is change. No one likes change. Sometimes change gets us anxious and fills us with dread, and we begin to worry about what the future is going to be like. And if you are in the habit of sitting down and turning the news on and watching that, then you are certainly going to be filled with dread and anxiety as you see what's happening in the world around us. But the answer to that is here. The answer to that anxiety and that dread is found within the pages of this blessed book. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. With it, God's word is lifted above all the changes of time, all of the things that are constantly shifting and are uncertain in our lives. So the first thing we see is in verse 89, and that is, it is an eternal word. Beyond time is eternity. Beyond change is the changeless promises of God. Thus the psalmist turns to God's word and finds the stamp of heaven upon it. It is the one absolute for this life. It is settled in heaven because God himself has given it to us and it will be fulfilled by him. Secondly, in verses 90 and 91, I think we can see that it is a faithful word. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. The word of our God is faithful just as he is. God's faithfulness is not something that we do not, it is something we do not have to worry about. We know that God is faithful, that he has been faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. In the midst of everything that's going on around us, God does not change. And his word does not change. And because the word of God has come from a faithful God, we can consider the book to be faithful as well. He promises that as the rain waters the earth and produces fruit, Isaiah 55:11, it says this, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Some of you may be familiar with a pastor from New York City by the name of Jim Cimbala. He pastors the Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York. Several years ago, their teenage daughter walked away from their family and walked away from the Lord. Began to live a life of rebellion. And it broke the Cimbala's hearts to watch their daughter spiral out of control. Carol Cimbala leads the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and she also is a songwriter. And she has written many songs that have been popular over the years. One of the songs that she wrote is entitled, He's Been Faithful. After their daughter's dramatic return to the Lord, many people looked at that song and believed that Carol Cimbala had written that song after their daughter had come back to them. But the truth is, and Carol Cimbala says this, that song was born in the midst of my pain. While we were hurting deeply, I claim the promises of God. And that song is a testimony to the fact that we believed with all of our hearts that one day God would bring our daughter back because his word had declared it. Cimbala writes this, what I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet he's been faithful. Faithful to me. When we have nothing left but the promises of God, my friends, we have more than enough to get us through each and every day, each and every trial and each and every problem. The third thing we can see from this psalm is that this is a reviving word. Verse 92 and verse 93. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Quickened me. You know, the reality is that if we fail to try to move forward in our walk with God, we will ultimately cease to move forward at all. We will be subject to the laws of science, and we will just come to a halt. It takes constant discipline for each and every one of us to force ourselves to pick up this book and read it daily. And the more we do it and the more we become practiced in doing it, the more precious it becomes to us, the more important it becomes to us, to the point that we long for it and we need to have it. The Word of God revives me when I'm getting cold, when I'm getting to that point where I'm drifting, when I'm getting to that point where the fire in my life is beginning to diminish. The Word of God can once again light the fires, once again get me revived and get me moving forward for God. When tragedy strikes, when life takes an unexpected turn, when normal is turned upside down, and the world loses its collective mind, and by the way, it has lost its collective mind, where do we turn? Where do we go when there's just nothing the world offers to us? Well, obviously, as Pastor Johnny's preached this morning, we have the indwelling Spirit of God. But God, in addition to that, has given us His Word. He has given us what He wants you and I to know so that we may live a life that is pleasing for Him and a life that reflects Him to the world around us. The first option for the follower of Christ is the Word of God. Not an online preacher, not a book about the Bible, but the Bible itself. We may not be able to delight in what is going on in the world or in our own individual lives, but we can delight in what God says in His Word, because His Word is true and faithful. The Word of God equips us to deal with the changes of this world and in our lives, so that we may indeed be faithful to God. When people get out of fellowship with God, one of the first things they do is they drop off from fellowshipping with other Christians in church services. But long before that starts, we see that they have stopped reading their Bibles. They've stopped spending time in the Word. You've heard it said, and I'm not sure who said it, but it has been said that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And tragically, that is true. David said when his enemies and trials overwhelmed him that he delighted in the Word. That's where he found his comfort. That's where he found his strength. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. When we are engaged with God's word, we are engaged with that which lasts forever. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, "We do not go to the Bible to escape the realities of life, but to be strengthened to face life and serve God effectively. We may not be able to delight in what is going on in the world around us, but we can delight in what God says in His Word. The Word of God equips us to deal with the changes of life, and the crises that come. In an age when everything around us seems to be unsettled, in an age when we have no idea what is going to happen next, we can take confidence in the fact that God's word is true. We can take confidence in the fact that we know what the last chapter is. We know how things are going to unfold. Years ago, after I was first saved and when I started Bible college, I came across a poem that I wrote in the cover leaf of my Bible. And it's entitled, "The Bible, There It Stands." And it says this, "Where childhood needs a standard or youth a guiding light, where sorrow sighs for comfort or weakness longs for might, bring forth the Holy Bible, the Bible, there it stands, resolving all life's problems and meeting its demands. Despised and torn in pieces by infidels decried, with thunderbolts of hatred, the haughty cynic's pride. All these have railed against it in this and other lands, yet dynasties have fallen, and still the Bible stands. To paradise a highway, the Bible, there it stands. Its promises unfailing, nor grievous its commands. It points man to the Savior, the lover of his soul. Salvation is its watchword, eternity its goal. When everything falls around us, the Word of God still stands. And may God give us that hunger and thirst for the Word of God that we may be able to say along with the psalmist, I delight in thy Word." Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your goodness, your love. And thank you, Father, for the Word of God that you've given to us, that we may read it and know the mind and heart of God. Father, I pray that you would make us to be diligent students of it, that you would put within us a hunger, an insatiable thirst, that we would not be able to satisfy. Father, I pray that by doing so, you would change us into your image. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Andrew.